Bill Burr does awesome podcast ad reads. He's kind of known for it because he'll just take the ad read and he'll shit on the ad.
Fruit of the Loom.
I think it was Sherry's Berries. See, I remember all these fucking ads. So now if I see Sherry's Berries, I need berries for my girlfriend. But I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, pop. He brings it down. You didn't have to throw that in.
You gotta shut it down, dude. This one game, Cards Against Humanity, it's everything you want in one box. And I wanted to play this board game with my family. The problem is, I have an extremely fractured family. Basically, four different households. I'm like, I gotta spend like $150 on this board game if I wanna play it.
No, you don't. You actually don't have to. You could buy it for yourself and just bring it with you wherever you go. Because it's this big. Like, why do you have to buy six? Dude,
I'll be honest, I didn't even think of that option. Dude, the psychology was, I'm just not gonna buy this game because I'm not gonna spend $150 on it.
Welcome to the Smart Nonsense Podcast, where we talk about smart nonsense every single day, even when you don't want to. How about that? I'll tell you what, I want to be here.
I don't want to do anything.
I want to be here.
You want to be here?
But I do, but one of us is dying. I'm not going to say which one. The audience can guess. You can watch this on YouTube.
I've been on life support. I don't mean to ruin the guessing game, but dude, I've been
since Friday.
I've been face down in a puddle since Friday.
And
for those of you that don't know,
for
you don't want to be face down in a puddle because you're drowning.
No,
you're drowning.
No, you would die.
Right, and
babies do that. Actually.
I am.
Babies can drown in a bucket of water. So you're a little baby. let's take a step back.
I feel like it.
Let's take a step back. Because Friday, I was headed out of town to a company retreat for my girlfriend, which was lovely. But on my way out of town, you were entering the puddle. And
I slipped and fell right in, dude. And it was deep. And I got little baby arms. Can't push myself out.
That was like that Jim Carrey. Wait, did you send that to me? Or did I just see it?
Oh, that character?
Yeah, he's doing
the T-Rex arms
Elvis,
on SNL.
Post-nuclear Elvis.
Oh,
and he's like, we'll run the B-roll because we got an editor now. But, you know, he's doing all the Elvis mannerisms and then just like,
up to you for the show. I'm through the editor and I go, okay, go, now don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of them blue suede shoes.
There he is.
I was thinking of the Will Ferrell pretending to be like a cat. I think it was Will Ferrell. Yeah, similar vibe. That was me though. That was me. Not as funny, more sad, but equally powerful emotions. And why? Why is that happening? Well, part of the reason why is we've had different variations of this selling meme going around. For a while, it was the surge.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I self-cacked. I'm trying to describe why there's a puddle
the
and
surge,
my face
dude.
Is down.
Dude, yeah, right.
The surge was basically like, there's something about like, I don't know when the surge came about, but we realized we wanted to sell and make a lot of money so that we could just focus on content. It's all we want to do. And we got to hire Henry's brother, Jack, and he requires money. So we got to have surplus money. So we got a surge.
Yeah, the surge came out of Elon Musk's book. Now, here's what happened. We read Elon Musk. We did a podcast on that. And then we were like, the only part of our business that isn't working is some predictable demand. Mm-hmm. Where we know that people are coming in 1 week and 2 weeks and 4 weeks and we could hire for that demand. So we were like, we need to take like Elon Musk and surge on this demand problem. And that was about a month ago now.
Right. And so we had a surge and like our surge was like, I don't even know what the plan was. It was like DM a bunch of people. Like we used to sell back in the day and we were kind of good at it because we just do free work. But then when it came down to surging, we're like, we're not Elon, dude. We thought it's like trying to bring the pitcher out of retirement, but he hasn't thrown a ball in 20 years. And that's what it's felt like the last two. So we come back and we try to surge, and then it just turned into a joke. We're like, today we surge, tomorrow we surge, next week we surge. We never surged. But then for some reason, maybe because our revenue got cut almost in half again.
Well, that was a reason, but reason. we were actually surging before that. Dude, you started. Where are we?
Fake surges constantly.
No,
I
you
thought
actually...
it was surge, nothing, then thermometer.
No. You started all this hiring. You got really into the surge.
The reverse surge. I surged in the wrong direction, dude. Right. So there's the demand surge, which is what you meant. Problem is, we're playing telephone. So I interpreted it as supply surge.
Oh, okay. No. So that's what happened. You were like, I know how to make surging fun. We'll like tinker on a new product. And that was when you started this idea of selling Clipped the Headhunter recruiting agency. And you were like, I like building things. Therefore, this doesn't feel like a surge.
No, this is what happened. So I think we were surging. We're surging because we were sold out. There was a period where we were sold out. We didn't have any editors to sell. And Nico, who's running the company, basically, he started selling our personal team. I'm like, yo, Nico, shut that down. That's the one thing we don't want to stop. So we then have to hire more people to meet this demand. The problem is, the second we put out all these hiring blasts, all our clients cancel. And by all, I mean like fucking 50 grand a month worth of clients. So now we just have a shitload of editors on our team already and a new batch of these amazing editors that now we don't want to not hire. It's like, fuck, they're even better than our current team. Why wouldn't we hire them? But it's like, well, we got to sell something, Dylan. You can't just hire. So that's when I think the thermometer surge, this stage two, I don't want to confuse terms, the thermometer.
Which I think is in the episode log. So we should probably cut to present day Puddle.
Present day Puddle is, and you've probably heard it in the last couple pods, I was stoked. I thought we were selling out this thermometer, which basically means let's get 100K in sales in like this week, basically. And I put out like a couple tweets. My whole DMs were just flooded with people like, hey, I need an editor. Problem is, like a third of them were like 10 years old. The other third was like super stoked, but then I sent them stuff to buy and they're like, oh wait, no, I actually like want to buy in like 2 months. I don't want to do it now. I'm like, well, that doesn't help. And the last third was like people that are kind of teasing us. They're like, yeah, I'm totally interested. Maybe let me get a sample. We do a sample and they're like, that sample is really shitty. Why would I sign up for that? And now I'm just like, fucking.
And you're all alone on Friday. So when all of this like hope and opportunity for this new model and demand and your tweets and these people are going to hire, the middle of last week was looking, the future was looking bright. And then I head out of town Friday and you're alone when everything comes crumbling back down.
Right. That's where I can't be. See,
I was also going to say, this is nothing new. These are like the peaks and troughs of like business and dopamine. Like
I haven't had one like this in a while. It's been a good 6 months.
Lonely and it was raining. Well, that's what it was. That's where the puddle came from. It was pouring cold rain on Friday and you couldn't leave the office. That's what it was.
Right. I'm in the depths of despair and they're like, basically we have to pay like $1,000 for all these tests that we just got back from all these editors and literally 20 in a row absolutely suck. And I'm like paying money for things that absolutely suck. And now I got to present these things that absolutely suck to clients that are waiting to pay us money, but now they're going to get crap and they're going to, I was just like, dude, negative all around. And our buddy Hunter comes in and he's like, dude, I don't know if you've been outside, but do not go home because I am drenched from head to toe. I got puddles in my shoes. And he was just a soggy waffle. So I had to go through that.
Did you end up, because I told you to just Uber home and, you know, you don't have to bike everywhere all the time.
Dude, I was head down, sucked it up, and went to my hockey game after.
Look at you. But the weekend turned it around for you, right? Oh. You bounced back over the weekend.
I think, dude, I think largely we're back. I'm kind of like, I have half my face. Like, I figured out how to rotate my neck. So I got one nostril out of the puddle. The other one's blowing bubbles and not getting much oxygen and fucking stuttering.
Wait, two things.
But
two things. Yeah. I think we need to get out of the puddle because we had one of our, we had one of our like, was it 2 hours? We had one of our like really long calls, just like a bumbling call that I remember we've had in the past where I would just go for a walk for like an hour and a half and we would just be like, this looks like it's going to be a good idea, but what the fuck is this? And with this timing and this financially, it's just for like an hour and a half, we're just like,
Right. And it's, well, another,
it almost feels like part of the process. Puddle. Like, we have to get it all out, and now we know kind of what we need to do.
You can't really have an agenda call when there's just threads flying around everywhere. It's just, like, different moving parts that are all interdependent, and, like, we're like, oh, what if we change this? And it's like, well, what about the third-order effects down here? Because at the same time as we're doing all this hiring, we're also firing our worst editors, and there are, like, 10 of those. But, like, we don't want to just fire them and cause panic in the team, especially as we're hiring another 10. So like the 10 would come in at this time, right when they see 10 people getting fired. So we got to like time that right. And then we want to like give the people we're firing to other people, maybe on this headhunter model. It's so complicated that we just had to talk for like an hour or two.
It's so complicated. And we have like a pretty simple small business. So it actually,
it's crazy.
It gives me some like insight into the difficult decisions big companies are facing when they have to lay off people or freeze hiring, or like there are just so many variables that I can't even imagine at their scale.
Well, I don't think it's the same thing I was saying earlier of like the Fortune 500 CEOs working just as hard as the bodega owner.
Same. Well, yeah, it's the same thing.
It's just a different scale.
Yeah.
But like, ultimately, it feels the same. So it's just a bummer when you're like working on a problem that isn't a Fortune 500 problem. It's like, hey, we're just trying to make like 30 grand.
We got to make it a Fortune 500 problem.
And it's so frustrating. Let me tell you something cool, though. Okay.
Let me tell you something cool, though.
I'll quit being a downer.
Because while you were in the puddle, I was schmoozing all weekend, hanging out with people in tech, which is always fun. And, you know, when you go to these things, people ask what you do, right? And I'm like, I'm an animation studio. And then I'm like, and I make content sometimes. And they're like, what kind of content? And I'm like,
I like this. This is cute.
And then I show them my clips every single time. I showed them how sailors measure in knots.
Imagine you're Christopher Columbus. It's 1492. I'm sailing the ocean blue.
Every single time they got to the first animated section, every single person, I quote, holy shit. Every single time.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of good news. We definitely make
cool
content.
Every single person we talk to, that is successful in business, they're like, hey guys, you're the only ones in the world that can do this. Why are you trying to sell a $5,000 editor that's pretty shitty to this other person that's pretty shitty?
It's like, I don't know what else we would do, because we're not going to do sponsorships.
Yeah, it's just
he brought it right back down. I went up, he came down.
Let me bring it up, dude. Let me bring it up. Because the same thing happens to me. I don't know how to describe our situation. I'm like, yeah, we have like an animation agency. And they're like, people don't really know what the fuck that means. And so you just like end up being like, yeah, and I make videos on the side. And they're like, well, do you make, like, are you a video editor? Or like, what are you? And I'm like, I don't fucking know what's going on. Just look at the videos that we make. And they're like, oh, that I get. I'm like, yeah, we just do that for like companies. And they're like, oh, okay. Why didn't you just say that?
So, brought it back down.
It's hard to get up, dude. I need more buoyancy, dude.
I'll give you buoyancy. I went to my first private pilot's license lesson. And we did zero G's, and let me tell you, I was buoyant. Run the clip.
Oh, nice, dude. Woo! So here's what I want to do. All right, that's awesome.
I'm right glad. Back down.
You fuck, dude.
Come on, maybe I don't want. Just try.
What do you want to do? You said you want to do something. Well,
that's awesome. It's really cool that you and your family are bonding over zero gravity flights. That's cool that you have your pilot's license. Maybe you can come back to New York more often.
It's gonna be a while. Huh. I gotta get a jet for that.
Oh, is it too far?
So you have no ability to bring it up?
Dude, I think this is, I don't know. Let me try and figure something out.
I thought you'd bite.
Zero G's.
Dude, you want a gripe?
I have
a gripe that's half down, mostly up. Because I think people should use this gripe to become more unique. So I've just been realizing lately, like, whenever I get an ad read in a podcast or video, I'm just spamming the skip 10 seconds button. Absolutely spamming it. I don't listen to a thing. And so that's a bit of a downer, but I think the bright side is if you can just be a little bit different, I'll watch your ad.
See, your threads are like literally half not baked. Even I don't think it qualifies as a thread. It's like the strand that's kind of fraying at the tip, and you're just like, you want to like figure out the thread here.
Well,
Bill Burr does awesome podcasts, ad reads. He's kind of known for it because he'll just take the ad read and he'll shit on the ad. He'll be like, here's the dumb copy you gave me, but honestly, like MeUndies. Right fucking now, it's going to hold your balls together. Like, and he's just like, and then he'll get people canceling on him because he's like making fun of like fruit companies and stuff.
Fruit of the Loom, I think that's what it was, which isn't a fruit.
I think it was Sherry's Berries. Sherry's Berries. See, I remember all these fucking ads. So now if I see Sherry's Berries, I need berries for my girlfriend, but I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, pop, he brings it down. You didn't have to throw that in.
I gotta shut it down, dude. We might have to. I'll end on this, dude. It's a little bit of psychology. You can take whatever you want out of it. But I was just talking to Zach. He's behind me now, and he's been promoting us making a smart nonsense card game for a while.
Yes.
I love card games. They're fun. They're good old family fun. Everyone participates. I tried to do code names with my family, which is like you got a bunch of different words and you try and connect the words with a hint, but you can only use one word. Fun game, but it's very heady. So I don't think my family liked it as much as they could have. But this one game, Cards Against Humanity, is a hoot and holler. It's a everything you want in one box. And I remembered it'd be fun for my family to play. I'm going back to Rhode Island because I go back pretty much every weekend now. And I wanted to play this board game with my family. The problem is I have an extremely fractured family. So I have my dad's side.
He goes down.
Then, fuck. I have my dad's side, my mom's side, my brother's side, and then my aunt's side. And, like, basically four different households. So now I'm like, I want to buy this game, but, like, who do I buy it for? Do I buy it for one? And then, like, what happens if I'm not at that house and I still want to play the game? So basically I'm like, fuck, I got to spend, like, $150 on this fucking board game if I want to play it. And
no,
I'm
going
to buy it for my house at home.
You actually don't have to. Basically, you could buy it for yourself and just bring it with you wherever you go. Because it's this big. Like, why do you have to buy six?
Dude,
it's actually...
I'll be honest, I didn't even think of that option. Dude, the psychology was, I'm just not going to buy this game because I'm not going to spend $150 on this.
Dude, it's literally a backpack-sized game. That's nuts.
That's so
you could even remove
it
the
didn't
contents
cross
from
my
the
mind,
box,
dude.
And it's two decks of cards. And he's gonna
oh,
buy
right,
six.
They're just cards. Well, fuck,
the
dude,
cards are
sick.
Against
you save me
humanity.
A lot of money. All right,
so
I'll do that.
Even
that's
your
awesome.
Even your upper thread Well, we yeah.
No, it ended on a high, dude. I'm going to get to play the game still.
I'm going to get to play the game still.